Good day, friends. Again, it is our joy to come to you. And we're so thankful for the fact that the Spirit of God has come to lead you and me, to guide us into all truth. And it's good for us to sit down sometime with the Word of God and find what God has to say to us. There are so many voices calling in the world, demanding that you believe them. And it's so wonderful to just sit down and take the Word of God and know that God has already revealed Himself to us, revealed His purposes and His counsels. And may I say, my friend, all you know about God is what you know about Jesus Christ. I mean in an experiential way, as well as an intellectual way. For He said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." And God loves people. God loves people. Say, "Well, Mr. Mitchell, you've been talking about the flood in the book of Genesis, in chapter 7 and 8. God destroyed the whole world." I said, "That's right. But don't forget that the Lord gave them hundreds of years whereby He spoke to them of a coming judgment. And they laughed His servants to scorn. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and prophesied that the Lord was going to come in judgment. And Noah was 600 years when the flood came. For the last 100 or so years, what was he doing? At least the last 100 and so years, what was he doing? He was a preacher of righteousness. You find that in 2 Peter chapter 2. Warning that generation, warning the people on earth that God in His righteous judgment must act. There's a flood coming. As I say, they laughed Him to scorn. They had no time, they had no room, no thought, no place for God in their lives. The footage of a Cainite humanistic society. As I said the other day, when society or civilization is left to itself without God, it will destroy itself. If ever we Christians needed to pray for the world and even for our own country, for our own cities where we live, it's today. I think the only thing that holds back the judgment of God is because of praying Christians, people who know God. And God will listen to their prayers, for God hears. Now we're down to the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis. Do you remember that the preceding passage, God who sent the flood also provided a place of safety. He provided salvation. And He could say to Noah and his family, "Come thou into the ark." They were the only ones who could listen, who would listen to God. "Come thou into the ark with all your house." And they shut him in. The flood came. It was one whole year before Noah left that ark again. And then he did it at the commandment of God. And sometimes I wonder at the patience of Noah. I could just see myself becoming very, very impatient. I'd like to get out of this boat. I'd like to get back on the face of the earth. And especially when the dove brought back the olive leaf, signifying that the waters had gone right on down through, and there wasn't much more upon the earth. And he still waited. And when he sent, after waiting another week, he sent out the dove, it didn't return. Then he knew that the waters were assuaged. And still he waited until God says, "Go out." Oh, that we might be sensitive to the will and purpose of God. Would indeed that we might be so filled with the Word of God that we will know the mind of God for our lives and be obedient. That's what God wants. If a man love me, he will keep my word. Remember that. Remember that. The measure of your love for the Savior is your obedience to His word. Now we come to chapter 9. And here we have God giving to Noah and his family a new responsibility. And I'm reading the first seven verses of chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Here's a responsibility. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. In other words, he was responsible also for the animal creation. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even giving as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, at the hand of every man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God hath he made man. And you, be fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. Let me just stop you just for a brief moment. You'll notice he has given two things, two responsibilities to Adam after the flood. First of all, to replenish the earth, to multiply. Notice also the provision in verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. You remember before the flood, we have no record that man ate meat. I think there were vegetarians that lived upon the green herbs which God had provided. But now you got a new thing. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Now they became meat eaters as well as the herbs of the field. And then you've got the responsibility with respect to killing something. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? For in the image of God made he man. This is the ground for what we call capital punishment. And notice the warning from verse 4 to 6. People say today, well, Mr. Mitchell, that's terrible. Capital punishment, that's you're killing somebody. You know, it's a strange thing we're living. I'm going to talk to this for a moment. It's a strange thing we're living in our country. We're having despised the word of God. We despise God's way for man to govern himself. It's God who gave this law, this responsibility. Oh, but we're living under the grace of God. Of late, we've had in our paper so much about this question of capital punishment, about whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. But we forget the rest of the verse. For in the image of God made he man, destroying that which was made in the image of man, image of God. And so if you destroy someone, then you must be destroyed. It's a strange thing I was going to say in this country. We even have sympathy for the man who's the killer, and very little is said about the family or of the man who was killed. We kind of forget about the awfulness of the man's crime. We get sympathetic. Think of a man being in jail after killing two or three men, then to get over 1,000 Christmas cards. I tell you, friends, again, we come right back to it. We've despised the law of God. And it's very clear. But you say, that's the Old Testament. That's true. But he's talking not here about the redemption of man. He's not talking about our responsibility to man in caring for him. He's talking here about a law of government. And when we despise God's laws of government, Then we pay the piper. You mark that. Now from verse 8, right on down through verse 17, we have the Noah's Covenant. I want to spend a little moment here because this is an unconditional covenant. And God said, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you, with your seed after you. And I'm making a covenant not only with you, but with every living creature that is with you, the fowl of the air, of the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." Notice that. "I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." Now here you have the Noahic covenant, and God is the source of it. And you'll notice that in these few verses, the word covenant is mentioned 7 times. Now you know a covenant is something between 2 parties. And this covenant is between God and man and every living creature on the earth, verse 12. It's a covenant between God and man and every living creature that's upon the earth. See? Remember, God says in verse 15, "I will remember my covenant." You see? It's an eternal covenant. You have in verse 14, this covenant is for perpetual generations. And then you have it again in verses 16 and 17. "I will look upon it, I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." And it's a covenant that has been established, an eternal covenant, that God will never again destroy the earth by water. It's an unconditional covenant. Man had nothing to do with it. God said, I will never again destroy the earth by flood. And God is always faithful to his word. This is dependent upon the faithfulness of God. Did you ever stop to think that our hope, and I say what to you Christians, our hope is built on the faithfulness of God to his Son, and the faithfulness of God to his word, and the faithfulness of God to you and to me. It's like Paul could say in Philippians 1:6, "He which hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." Upon what ground did Paul make such a statement, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the coming of the Lord, till the day of Jesus Christ? That was based upon the faithfulness of God. Take 2 Timothy 1:12. "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." The faithfulness of God. One could multiply the scriptures. If he's God, he must be righteous. If he's righteous, he must be faithful. If he's faithful, he will keep his word. Just like that. If my salvation were dependent upon Mitchell in any wise, it would never get there. I would never get there. See, God made an unconditional covenant with Noah, with man, with the creature, with the whole earth. The whole earth will never again be destroyed by water. And that promise was made centuries ago. It's still true today. God has never, never will destroy the earth by water. God will keep his word. God will keep his word. My, what an encouragement this must have been to Noah. He had just gone through a terrific thing. He had been on the earth, which was peopled, men of renown, a real civilization, humanistic, 'tis true, possibly materialistic. But it was corrupt. It was corrupt. But it's a beautiful world. And now, he's gone back to it. Nobody's on the earth but the ones he took out of the ark. I wonder how he must have felt. No wonder when you come to the end of chapter 8, the first thing he did was to build an altar, sacrifice, the burnt offering, the offering of worship. My friend, I want to tell you today, as he looked over the ground, as he looked over the earth, will this ever happen again? Wouldn't it be terrible if it ever happened again? And God said, it'll never happen again. This covenant is an unconditional covenant. Man has no thing to do with it. God manifesting grace and mercy. And you remember, he still said that the imaginations of the heart of man was evil from his youth. He said this after the flood. I'll no longer destroy the earth. And then talking about the sign of the covenant, verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every creature of all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant. This is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And wherever you go through the earth, down through the centuries, the rainbow has been in the heavens, touches the heavens, and it touches the earth. Do you remember that? How we see that bow from the dark clouds touching the earth, those beautiful colors, a token, a remembrance to every generation since Noah's day that God will never again destroy the earth by water. Just as sure as God is on the throne, just so sure will he keep his word. I want this to be very clear to you then, that this covenant, God is the source of it. It's between God and man and every creature. It's an eternal covenant. It's an unconditional covenant. And it's based upon the faithfulness of God. And he's given us a sign of that covenant. And it has been a sign to every generation that God will never again destroy the earth by water. Now, when you start in from there, from verse 18 of chapter 9, and go on down through the end of chapter 9, we have a tremendous portion of Scripture, the prophecy which Noah gave concerning his three sons. And this prophecy of Noah carries right on down through the centuries. I'm not going to go into it now, except to mention, I just trust you'll read it through from chapter 9, verse 18 to the end of the chapter. And then you go on into chapter 10, halfway through chapter 11. And we have this question of the prophecy concerning the three sons of Noah. And I just pray, God, that in some way he'll make it very, very clear to you. Now, in closing, May I just make one further word? I have been speaking of the fact that this covenant was an unconditional covenant, and it's based upon the faithfulness of God to His Word. Our hopes, too, are based upon the faithfulness of God to His Word. Can I plead with you today to get into the Word of God and find out what God has to say to you personally? See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And the more I get into the Word of God, the more I read the Word of God through, the more I realize everything we have is dependent upon the faithfulness of God to His Word. So the more I read the Word, the more I see His purpose, the more I see His program, the more I experience His fellowship, the more I thank Him for His mercy and for His grace. Oh, how glad I am that God has made provision for man today to be saved, to become a child of the living God. He's still long-suffering, as He was before the flood. He was still long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I plead with your heart today to take Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And to you believers, rejoice with me in the fact that God will keep His Word, and our hope of all eternity is based upon the faithfulness of God. The Lord bless you today for His precious name's sake.